Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover and his coaches dive deep into the questions that you're asking. They understand the challenges you're facing on a day-to-day basis and still work every day on the front lines of real estate, with Jeff and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. In today's episode, we are taking a break from the Real Talk series. Jeff Glover will share with you the latest tools in handling objections. We will learn from Jeff how to handle objections from buyers and sellers that will lead to a closed deal if handled correctly. Now let's hear from Jeff Glover.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back for another session of SLS. We've got a fun one for you today because I am digging deep into the conversation around handling objections, and I'm going to give you every single tool that you need to know to be able to handle any objection you encounter moving forward. Okay. Handling objections. Let's go ahead and jump in. I've got a couple thoughts on objections, and then we're going to get into the rules of handling objections, which some of you may be familiar with. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in. I wrote down, remember, and I want you to write this down as well, an objection is a question in the mind of a consumer. An objection is just a question in the mind of a consumer. An objection is a question in the mind of a consumer. Now, the reason why I want you to write that down first is because when we think of objections, all right, we think bad. We think, oh man, I can't believe they're being tough on me. You know, we think, oh man, they might not work with me. They're trying to find reasons to not work with me. See, it's natural as salespeople for us to look at objections as bad. When reality, objections are actually a good sign. Objections are actually a sign that someone is considering hiring you, as long as you answer their questions appropriately. So remember, during Monday's session, I talked about, in most cases, especially on a listing presentation, listings are won and lost in two areas. Number one, we discuss price on Monday, and number two, how well you handle their objections, or in this case, answer their questions. The second thing I wrote down is objections are actually a great thing. Okay. The reality is you've all been on appointments, or you've maybe worked with a buyer, you've maybe worked with a seller before, and you know, you walk out of there, or you walk out of the showing, or you walk out of your appointment, and you just think, man, that just, something didn't feel right about that. You know, they didn't ask me a lot of questions, you know, kind of one of those when you're on an appointment, they're like, okay, we'll let you know, right? I'm sure you've had one of those before. All right, yeah, no questions. Yeah, we're interviewing agents, we'll let you know. All right, chances are that person is not going to hire you if they're not giving you objections. So moving forward, I want your mindset around objections to be, I love objections. Give me everything you got. And quite honestly, that is my feeling. I don't mind. My goal in a perfect setting would be able to get every single person in this program to a point to where at our next event, at our very next event, we pull up a stool on the stage and say, all right, you're up on the stage. Everyone go to the microphones and have them, you know, ask them an objection, you know, give them an objection. Let's hear them. I want to get everyone in this program to that point, to where you could sit up on stage and you can handle every single objection that is thrown at you. All right. So that's my goal. Now, the reality is I believe that, by the way. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to see the objections that you put into the chat. I'm willing to answer those for you. I want to get you to that same point. All right. So the next thing I wrote down is, and I want you to write this down, the difference between, write this down as I say it, the difference between a smokescreen and a real objection. Go ahead and write this down. The difference between a smokescreen and a real objection. Put that in your notes. I'm going to share that with you now. When we're talking about objections, know that there are real objections, there are questions that we have to answer, and then there's also what we call smokescreens. Okay, what is a smokescreen? A smokescreen is a response to get you to back off. All right. A smokescreen is a response to get you to not press further. A smokescreen is a response to get you to not close for an appointment, close for a signature. I'll give you, for instance, here's a perfect example of a smokescreen objection. All right. And I know this because I worked in the furniture business, any retail store. So in the furniture business, you know, our job is to greet customers and select them and close them and purchase, you know, set up the delivery and get that, select them and close them and get it done. Well, when customers come into the store, 9 times out of 10, they know exactly why they're there. They know what they're looking for. They know where they're going. They know what they want to see. They probably have an idea of the color. They probably have an idea of the style. They probably have an idea of the firmness, if we're talking a mattress, right? They know why they're walking into the store. 9 out of 10. I'll give you 1 out of 10 is just browsing, right? That's fine. You're just killing time on a Sunday. No problem. But 9 out of 10, know the purpose of why they're at the store. Watch this. 100% of the time, 10 out of 10, will tell me at the door when I greet them and introduce myself and the company and you know, welcome to our store, will say to me, thank you, nice meeting you, I'm just browsing. I'm just looking around. I'm just, you know, killing some time. I'm just, you know, here to get an idea of you know, what's going on in furniture world these days. Whatever. 10 times out of 10, they are giving me what's called a smoke screen objection. They are telling me something so that I back off. Oh, yeah, you guys are just looking. What do they want me to respond with? Oh, no problem. Take your time. I'll be around if you need anything. They don't want me to follow them around. They don't want me to qualify them. They don't want me to select. They don't want me to close. So what do? They tell me that they're just looking so that I will back off. All right. Well, the reality is in real estate, consumers do the same thing. Right? You've been in open houses before, right? You can tell when you're getting the smoke screen. We just kind of got started. Yeah, we're not looking, you know, to do anything serious right now. We just kind of got started. That's a smoke screen. That is not an objection. You are, unless you're a nosy neighbor, you went out of your way to stop at an open house, unless you just love architecture and design and you want to check out this cool new listing, they're giving you a smoke screen so that you won't press further. They're giving you a smoke screen so you won't ask them questions such as, are you pre-approved? How long have you been looking? How soon are you looking to get into a home buy? What type of home are you looking for? They don't want you to ask those questions. They'd rather just look on their own. And so instead, what they're going to say is, no, we're just, you know, just out on a Sunday, right? Same thing when you're in a listing appointment. A smoke screen objection, very common one on a listing appointment, is, all right, Jeff, well, thank you for all the information. We're going to give it some thought and we'll let you know. We just want to think it over. We just want to think it over. Thinking it over is not an actual objection. It's a smokescreen for what might actually be concerning them. All right, so make sure you understand the difference between a smokescreen, because that's not a real objection, and the actual objections. And we'll get into the real objections in a minute. Another thing I want you to write down, the difference between an objection and a condition. All right, ready? An objection is the question in the mind of the consumer, right, that we need to answer their question. You already have that. A condition is a statement of fact that we can do nothing about. A condition is a statement of fact that we can do nothing about. And I'll give you a real common one, okay? And I will still say this. That doesn't mean I don't try to handle it, all right? And I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say somebody had their home on the market, they were an expired, and they decided to take their home off their market. They were moving because the wife, the husband, whoever, was getting a job transfer. And that job transfer fell through. And they were moving for that reason. They were moving because of the job transfer. You're moving to Ohio. You're moving to Florida. You're moving to Chicago. You're moving to wherever for that job transfer. And it fell through. Well, first instinct to me says, well, that's kind of a condition, all right? Which, by the way, it is. But I'm not just going to accept a condition. So a condition is a statement of fact. There's no doubt. Jeff, if they say to me, hey, we had our home on the market because we were moving to Chicago for a job transfer. Job transfer fell through. Now we're not selling. That is a condition. That is an example of a condition. However, I'm still not just going to say, oh, okay, no problem. Well, hey, sorry to hear about the job transfer falling through, and I wish you the best. Nope. I'm still going to try to press on just a little bit, right? So I might say something like, oh, gosh, all right, well, I'm sorry to hear the job transfer fell through, and I'm sure you guys were looking to get to Chicago. Do you have family there? Did you already have a home there? You know, how did you guys happen to pick a job opportunity in Chicago? Well, you know, so-and-so has connections in the industry. This is going to be a promotion, whatever they say. And I'll always ask the question in this particular case, well, I understand that the job transfer fell through, and I'm sorry to hear that. Is there any advantage to you to moving or selling your home locally, meaning upsizing, downsizing, moving into a new neighborhood, moving into different schools? Is there any advantage to doing that anyways, right? Because I may say a lot of, from time to time, when a job transfer falls through, somebody had, you know, their home on the market, they were experiencing showings, and maybe they had an idea of what kind of house they wanted to buy, right? Watch this. In most cases, when someone gets a job transfer, just using this as a for instance, if they've got a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath ranch here in Detroit, and they're getting a promotion or a job transfer to Chicago, let's say, they're probably not going to buy a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath ranch. So what I'm getting at is they were already excited about the new type of home, the new style of home, the new square footage, the new amount of bedrooms, the new amount of bathrooms, the new whatever. They were already kind of like in their mind thinking, oh yeah, we're so done with this starter home of ours, you know, we've been here 7 years. It's going to be so nice to finally get that colonial in the Chicago suburbs or whatever, right? So many times when there's a condition, I'm still going to press a little further and say, hey, is there any advantage? You know, I'm sure at this point, you know, just using the job transfer as a for instance, I'm sure at this point your husband, wife, whoever has found work here in Detroit or is going to stay here in Detroit. And if you don't mind me asking, was there any other advantages? Watch this, write this down. Were there any other advantages to making this move besides for the job transfer? Were there any other advantages to making this move besides for the upsizing, besides for the downsizing? Were there any other advantages to making this move besides the obvious? Why am I asking that question? Well, because especially when we get hit with a condition, all right, this is how I can still sometimes set an appointment or get a contract signed, by asking them, were there any other advantages, or what were some of the other advantages besides for moving to Chicago? Well, yeah, we were going to get a bigger house. Oh, yeah, no, we were going to have a finished walkout basement or whatever. We're going to have a three-car garage. Oh, wow, good for you. That sounds like all nice things compared to, you know, you've got a lovely home here. You know, I see it. It looks great on the MLS. So if you could find that house here in Detroit, would it make sense to maybe consider still making a move if you got top dollar for your listing right now? Oh gosh, we hadn't thought about it because we were moving for the job transfer, right? So I want to know what the other advantages are to making the move other than what they tell you. And then you can use that to handle objections later. Okay, write down a couple more thoughts on objection handling before we get into some fun. So objections. I want you to write down what objections should never be handled over the phone. Okay, so just write this down in your notes. Never handle over the phone. I'll share them with you now. Never handle over the phone. Okay, we never talk price over the phone. We never talk commission over the phone. We never talk terms of the contract or the agreement over the phone. Price, commission, terms of an agreement. Now, I'm not talking about terms when you're negotiating that, you know, that's fine. Price, commission, and terms of a listing contract or a buyer's contract. Now, if they're out of state, you have no choice. You're doing your buyer consultation, your listing presentation over the phone. But as much as possible, when I'm prospecting or when I'm pre-qualifying, okay, as a lot of this comes up during the pre-qual, when I'm prospecting and for sure when I'm pre-qualifying, if they ask me what I think their home is worth, if they ask me what I charge, if they ask me about my contract, I'm going to say this and write this down. We've already covered this, but I'm going to repeat it again. That's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. That'll be one of the first things we talk about when I come out. Well, Jeff, what do you charge? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I haven't seen your house yet, and it has to do with the marketing plan you choose and the condition of your home. But that'll be one of the first things we talk about when I come out. And then 99 times out of 100, they never bring it up, or it comes up at the end of the presentation, and that's okay. So write that down and get used to saying that when they give you an objection over the phone on price, commission, or terms of the contract. That's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, right? And you actually have to kind of say it with a smile. You have to say, show that you're excited to handle that question and answer that question, but not until you're in front of them. Do not answer those questions over the phone. Why is that? Because if they don't like your response, they don't like what you say, it's very quick and very easy for them to just say, you know what? Sorry, don't bother coming out. You know, we don't like that price. Or no, we want a discounted agent, or we want a discounted commission, right? It's very easy for them to do that while they have you on the phone. However, when you're at their kitchen table and they're not liking your price, or they're not liking the terms of your contract, or they're not liking your commission, then that's when we can still sit there like adults and have a great conversation about it and handle their objections. So do not get in the habit of talking price, talking commission, or talking terms of the contract over the phone. And I want you to use the script. I'm not sure. I haven't seen your house yet. That'll be one of the first things we talk about when I come out. I'm not sure. I haven't seen your house yet. And that'll be one of the first things we talk about when I come out. Well, why do you need to see my house to tell me what your commission is? Well, because it depends on what we need to do to market the property. You see, some listings offer out 3% to the co-op agent. Some offer out 3.5%. Some offer out 4%. Depending on the condition and the marketing plan you choose, we need to make a decision of what's going to be the best commission to offer out. And again, that'll be one of the first things we talk about when I come out. See what I just did there? Okay, so how do we master objections? All right, I want you to write this down. Mastering objections. And we're going to get into the rules of handling objections in a second. Last thing I want you to write down before we get into the rules. How do we master objections? All right? I think you know the answer to it. You're going to write them out once a day for 30 days. You're going to chant them once a day for 30 days. You're going to role play them once a day for 30 days. You want to master in objections. You want to be able to handle objections right there on the spot. You want to be put on stage and be able to have the audience fire any question or objection to you, which, by the way, everyone in this program should want to get to that point. Because if you get to that point, then you're becoming a strong salesperson, and that's what this program is all about. All right, this is about increasing your conversion. And in order to increase your conversion, I've got to make sure everyone in this program, when it's all said and done, are better salespeople. Okay, so how do we master objections? Number one, we write them out once a day for 30 days, period. By the way, I did this. You guys know that. I've talked about this. Number two, we chant them aloud once a day for 30 days. Chant them aloud. What is chanting aloud? Just reading from a script out loud. Number three, we role play them once a day for 30 days. Pretty simple stuff. Okay, let's jump into the six rules for handling objections. Six rules of handling objections, ready? Rule number one, some of you guys already know these, and so you're probably already getting ahead of yourself and writing them in, and that's okay. Rule number one, never argue, comma, always agree. Rule number one on handling objections, never argue, comma, always agree. I wrote down many times they will give us an objection that we don't agree with. In fact, in most cases, when they're giving you an objection, in our mind, we're actually feeling like they're disagreeing with us, right? You feel me on that? When you get an objection from a consumer, you instantly think they're challenging you. You instantly think they're fighting you. You instantly think they're battling you. Our mentality needs to be that, remember, objections are good. It is a good thing if they're giving me objections. So here's the deal. What is the fastest way to break rapport with someone? Forget about clients. Watch this. Fastest way to break rapport with someone that you're having a conversation with. What is it? Ready? By disagreeing with them. Think about your personal conversations. Think about your business conversations. The fastest way to break rapport in a conversation is to disagree with someone, right? People start thinking, why are you disagreeing? And then you get battling, and then there's no rapport, okay? So the key in handling objections moving forward, and I promise you, of the six, well, the other ones are important too. This is an important one. Because if I start off the conversation, watch this. If I start off the conversation in agreement, they tune in to what I have to say next. If I start out the conversation or my response in disagreement, they're tuning me out. So when someone gives me an objection, well, Jeff, we've interviewed two or three agents, and you know you're kind of the highest in terms of what you're charging. Is there any chance you can give us a break? Well, I want to say no. I want to say, well, let me tell you why we charge more. I want to say, well, let me tell you why I'm worth that. Well, let me tell you why you should pay me more. Naturally, that's what our human brain wants to do. It wants to defend our position. The moment you start defending your position to a consumer, you've lost. You cannot battle with them. You will lose all rapport. So instead, even though I want to battle, I'll say, you know what, I can appreciate you asking the question, and I probably would ask the same question if I were in your shoes. I mean, I want to net the most out of my home too when I go to sell it. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And notice what I did there. I did not argue. I did not defend. I did not even get into my position yet. I just simply agreed with them. By agreeing with them, they're going to tune into what you have to say next. Disagree, they'll tune you out. Agree, they'll tune in. Number two, I want you to always restate the objection in a positive manner with a statement of agreement. Restate the objection in a positive manner with a statement of agreement. Write that down. That's rule number two. Always restate the objection in a positive manner with a statement of agreement. And underneath that, since you've got some room for it, I'm going to give you some basic statements of agreements. And you probably already know what they are. I'm sure at this point you already use them to some degree. So write these down. Okay, this can go below. I completely understand. I hear what you're saying. I know what you mean. I'm picking up what you're putting down, right? Whatever. However your lingo is, right? I can certainly appreciate your position on that. I totally get where you're coming from. That makes perfect sense. I understand how you feel. Those are all statements of agreements that I want to use in every situation where I'm handling an objection. Remember, handle their objections, I'm more likely to get a contract signed. Do not handle their objections well, I'm less likely to get a contract signed. Number three rule of handling objections, ask a lot of questions. Ask a lot of questions. Asking questions does two things. Number one, it buys you time. Ask a lot of questions. Number one, it buys you time so you can think about what you're going to say next. Number two, it gives you more information on their position. So rule number three is ask a lot of questions, and you do that for two reasons. So rule number three is ask a lot of questions, and we'll just call it 3A is because it buys you time. 3B would be it gives you more information on how to better handle their objection. It gives you more information on their point of view. So I want you moving forward when you get an objection. So watch this. I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from, and I would probably want a discount on the commission too if I was listing my house. You want to net the most out of it. Is that right? Yep, that's exactly right. And if you don't mind me asking, what do you think is a fair price to pay? Well, based on so-and-so, right? Watch that. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is a fair price to pay? Just by asking that one question, they're telling me, well, Joe from Remax and Bob from Century 21 and Barb from Keller Williams all said blah, 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 blah. Just because I simply asked a deeper question. So asking questions does two things. Number one, it buys you time. And number two, it gives you an opportunity to understand their position better. It gives you an opportunity to know where they're coming from. By the way, back to rule number two. I missed a point on rule number two. I said always restate the objection in a positive manner with a statement of agreement. I want you to underline positive manner. And if you've got some room for notes under that, I want to tell you what I mean by that. What I mean by positive manner is restating what they said. Okay, write this. So actually, let's just do this. Right underneath there, positive manner equals. Okay, positive manner equals. And I'm going to give you what I mean by that. Okay, so when I say number two, restate the objection in a positive manner with a statement of agreement, I want you to write underneath that positive manner equals. What do I mean by restate the objection in a positive manner? By the way, before you start writing the definition, I don't mean like, you know, I'm restating their objection like with a good attitude, right? That's not what I mean. I'll tell you what I mean by that. What I mean by restating the objection in a positive manner is, write this down, taking the objection and restating it, ready? Taking the objection, and this is what I mean by positive manner, taking the objection and restating it in a way that's more favorable to your handler. Taking the objection and restating it in a way that's more favorable to your handler. Positive manner. Taking the objection and restating it in a way that's more favorable to your handler. What do I mean by that? All right, so let's just use the commission one as a for instance. They want me to reduce my commission. They met with other agents that are cutting the commission, whatever, whatever. Well, I can certainly appreciate that you're asking for a discount. If I was in your shoes, I probably would want the best deal too. And ultimately, it sounds like you're most interested in netting the most out of this sale. Is that right? Yep, that's right, Jeff. You're most interested in netting the most out of this sale. Why am I restating it that way? Because guess what? I know my handler. My handler, which we'll get to, my handler talks about my average list price to sales price ratio. So if I get them to agree that they just want to net the most, and I know that I have a handler that's going to show them how I do net sellers the most, list price to sales price ratio being at 98% or 97% or 99%, whatever it is, then I can then reference back, well, you said you're interested in netting the most, so I believe I have a plan that's going to help you do that. Do you mind if I share that with you now? Sure. Well, when we spoke over the phone, you said you were meeting with Betty Lou, you said you're meeting with Joe, and obviously you're meeting with me. And I did a little research in the MLS, and I want to show you year to date what we're averaging our sellers list price to sales price. Now, I know you mentioned these other agents said they were going to give you a better deal than I would. And of course, at the same time, I appreciate their competitiveness. I appreciate them wanting to help you out. And I just want to take a look at how that will actually help you. Okay, now I'm just getting into handling one, for instance. And so I took the liberty to pull their stats right from the MLS, and I want to show you list price to sales price. You know, I know Joe from ABC Real Estate Company offered you a 1% discount on your commission, and I'm also seeing that he's averaging his sellers 95% of their asking price. Not bad, that's pretty good. And you know, I see Barb from CBA offered you also a 1% discount, and she's averaging her sellers 96%. Not bad. Those are pretty good numbers, by the way. I might even say, you know, the board average is 94%, so kudos to you. You're meeting with better agents than the board. However, the third name, which is my name, is I'm averaging sellers 98% of their asking price. So in theory, even if you pay me 1% more, your net will still be higher with me than with them. And ultimately, you're looking to net the most out of the sale, right? See what I did there? So when I restate it in a positive manner, I'll give you another for instance. Okay, Jeff, we only want a 30-day contract. We only want to sign a 30-day listing. I can totally appreciate that you only want to hire me for 30 days. And what I hear you saying is that you want to get this home sold quickly, right? Yeah, that's the reason why we only want a 30-day contract. What I hear you saying is you want to get the home sold quickly, right? So notice I removed the 30 days and I just went to something that's going to help me in my handler. Well, how's that going to help you in your handler, Jeff? Watch this. Well, here's the good news. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to the average days on market in the market. Right now it's 41 days. And I've been averaging sellers 22 days. So there's a decent chance that we may be able to get the home sold quickly, and I brought some stats to back that up, whatever. And the reality is we still need a 90-day agreement because there's a chance, even if I get it sold quickly, that the transaction may fall through and I may have to put it back on the market. Well, how could the transaction fall, right? Inspection issue, appraisal issue, whatever. So in essence, we're going to get it done faster and we're going to meet your timeline, but you can see why I need the 90 days or 120 days or whatever, right? So I'm restating the objection in a positive manner because I know I've got an answer. I know I've got a handler that's going to match it. And if I can get their confirmation on when I ask the question, you know, ultimately you're looking to net the most out of the sale of the home. If I can get a positive response to that, then I'm more likely to get them to respond positively to my handler, which we're going to dig into those in just a bit. All right. So I wanted to give you some additional details on rule number two. Let's go down to rule number four. Smile and nod your head a lot. Smile and nod your head a lot. And I put dot, dot, dot. Check your posture and your body language. Smile and nod your head a lot. Check your posture and your body language. What do I mean by that? Now, I'm not saying you sit there and say, oh, I can totally appreciate where you're coming from. I love the objection you just gave me. Please give me more, right? I'm not suggesting that you're smiling and nodding your head in a goofy way. What I'm suggesting is you keep an eye on your body language. You keep an eye on your facial expressions because it's very common. I see this with a lot of rookie agents and even agents that have been doing this for a long time who have never actually learned scripts. It's very common that when a consumer gives you an objection, your facial expression changes. You know, maybe your face turns red. Maybe you start to sweat. Maybe you start to twitch. Maybe you start to fidget. Okay? They can pick up on that. And remember, they're judging you based on how well you handle their objections. They're deciding whether they're going to hire you or not, whether how well you answer their questions, how thorough you are, and how much you agree with them, and how much rapport. Remember, when you're handling objections, you are in the mode of building rapport. It's not just about answering their questions. I have to think about how I can continually build rapport with the customer while I'm answering their objections. And so in order to maintain positive rapport, I have to be positive about the objections they give me. Because by the way, think about the last time you disagreed with someone. Were you disagreeing with a smile, right? Were you kind of like, no. Probably the opposite. Probably, you know, one of those like, huh, what? No chance, right? Guess what? That is what your face looks like when they give you an objection, right? That is what your tonality and your body language tells them. So I want you to, moving forward, check your body language, check your tonality, smile and nod your head. All right, hey, no problem. I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from, and I understand your position and what you're looking to accomplish. And have you considered? Positive, smiling, restate, right? Okay, rule number five. Remove the word but and however from your vocabulary and replace it with the word and. Remove the word but and however from your vocabulary and replace it with the word and. Remove the word but and however and replace it with the word and. Okay, there is no place for the word but or the word however in the sales language. There's no place for it, right? By the way, sales is a language, right? We're going to talk about a little later in the program. We're going to do a couple lessons on neuro-linguistic programming. I can't wait. You guys are going to love that. NLP training. All right. I wish we could dig deeper into it. We're working on a program for you. Don't worry. I know it's going to be a popular one. Anyways, sales is a language. And in the sales language, there is no room for the term but or however in the sales dictionary. So get rid of it. Replace it with the word and. Okay. I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from, and I understand. I hear what you're saying. I know what you mean. I know how you feel. And have you considered? And have you considered? And have you thought about? And have you put thought into this? And have you done this? And. By the way, you'll catch yourself doing this when you get really good at it. All right. When you're writing responses in your emails, or when you're communicating or negotiating with a co-op agent, right? That's a sale. That's a sales skill. You got to have a sales skill to communicate at a high level, even with co-op agents. Get rid of but, get rid of how, and, however, and replace it with the word and. You understand that when you say but and however, the brain tunes out everything that's said after that. Okay, you can say, I love your shoes, but. All right, the brain forgot about the fact that you said, I love your shoes, and starts thinking about, but what? Tunes into what you have to say, right? It negates everything that's said before it. Right? It negates everything that you said up to that point. So when I say I can appreciate your position and I know you want to net the most on the sale and my goal is to net you the most on the sale, I'd be asking that if I were in your shoes too, and let's see what we can do to net you the most of the sale and have you considered, or I'm sorry, but forget about all that. Forget about the fact I agreed with them. Forget about the fact we're in rapport. But and however are rapport killers. Get rid of them. And finally, number 6, rule of handling objections. Always close after handling an objection. Always close after handling an objection. Every time you handle an objection, you have an opportunity to close. You have an opportunity to ask for a signature. You have an opportunity to ask for an appointment. You have an opportunity to ask for the buyer wanting to write an offer. Anytime you handle an objection, you have an opportunity to advance the conversation. So this example I just gave on the commission, after I go through the whole process of what we're netting sellers so far, so you can see that working with us, I'm actually going to end up netting you more. And that's ultimately what you want, right? Yeah, Jeff, I guess, you know, when you put it that way, we didn't realize it. Yep, that's what we want. Great. Are you ready to put me to work for you? With a smile, right? Great. Are you ready to put me to work for you? Great. Let's get started. Every single time I handle objection, whether it's over the phone, all right, same thing, over the phone, right? I'm trying to close for an appointment, Jeff, we want to wait. Well, you understand, I'm sure you understand what's taking place in the market right now, all the pent-up demand we have, you know, due to COVID, buyers are out, there's a feeding frenzy for listings, sellers are getting $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more than they would have got for their home at this same time last year. Well, we want to wait. If you don't mind me asking, what's the value in waiting? Well, I guess we haven't given that one much thought. So if you knew that you could put more money in your pocket now by selling now, even though it might be a little bit of an inconvenience, or even though it might be a little bit of a pain in the neck, would you be interested in hearing how much more you could put in your pocket? All right? Well, I guess so. Great. I'm going to be in your neighborhood later today. When could I swing by? 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, what works best for you? I'm always closing after I handle an objection because their mind, when they answer positively to your handler, when you use a tie down at the end and they answer, yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, by the way, they're not always going to say, oh yeah, Jeff, I agree with you, right? And by the way, we're going to write down rule number 7, all right? I'm going to give you a bonus one. So just write this down underneath it. Rule number 7, always have 2 to 3 handlers on hand to handle their objections. I need 2 to 3 answers to the objections. Remember, an objection is a question. And chances are, if I'm asking a question, my mind is made up about something. All right, here's what I mean by rule number 7. When is the last time someone convinced you to change your mind just based off one point, one opinion? Right? You're dead set on this, right? You know, I won't get into who is voting for who or politics, but you're dead set on who you're voting for. You know in your mind who you're voting for. And then someone comes along and says, yeah, but you ought to consider the other option because of A. How often do you say, you know what? Because you share that one thing with me, you're right. I'm changing my vote. No, you need 2, 3, 4, 5 reasons. You need substantial evidence. You need logic. You need facts. You need reasons why you would change your mind. So then when we're handling objections, we have to have 2 to 3 answers for every objection. Because when I give you one answer, you're considering it. Okay, I could see that. And then I come back with another one, and you're like, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. And then I come back with another one. Yeah, you know what? I don't know why I didn't see it that way, but you're absolutely right, Jeff. That is the key in handling objections, getting them to that point. Well, it's gonna take 2 or 3 handlers for each objection. Now, here's the good news. When we get into the objection handlers, guess what? I'm going to give you 2 or 3 answers. Or even if I just gave you 1 or 2, chances are you can come up with another one on your own. right? You can think about, you already have objection handlers. You just don't have them documented, right? I could give you an objection. You have ways of answering it. That's a handler. And so my hope is, even just through this, even through session 14 even, forget about the fact that I'm going to give you some scripts. Forget about the fact that I'm going to give you language to use. Forget about the fact that I'm going to give you 2 to 3 responses for every single objection we could ever come in contact with. Forget all that. Take the objection handlers you already know. Most of you already have responses, right? You don't even know that you were handling objections and you were handling objections. Take the stuff you already know and put it into the 6, now 7 rule formula. You follow the 6 to 7 rules of handling objections with the handlers you already have, you're going to be just fine. You don't even need my handlers. Now, you might say, well, Jeff, I only really have one handler and I always get stumped on this one. Good, I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to give you 2 answers. All right, so we're going to have some fun with that. Okay, so last point on handling objections. Remember, objections only come from people who want to work with you. So let's get excited at the opportunity to handle their objections, to answer their questions. Because they will not give you an objection if they weren't interested in working with you.
Thank you for taking your time to join Jeff today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. To get started on having an unreal business, take the real estate self-assessment. After you complete the assessment, a member of Glover U will get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score. Go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes, Podbean, or Spotify and subscribe today. Until next time, remember,
let's get excited at the opportunity to handle their objections, to answer their questions. Because they will not give you an objection if they weren't interested in working with you.